As we unpack this section of verses today, I'd like us to keep in mind these words, power and authority. Keep in mind the words, power and authority. Light has power. I want you to know that today. I want you to remember that today. Light has power. It's no secret that light becomes a valuable commodity when we find ourselves in the dark. As we've tried to kind of illustrate today, one light on a table not only illuminates the word for me to read, but it gives you some type of light. It captures your attention. And if, like I said, I was able to black out all of those windows, we would really see the power that light has. Light has power. And it is a valuable commodity when you find yourself in the dark. The video stated that you saw this morning that even the smallest light pierces the dark. It also says when your light shines, it can change the world. Light makes a difference. Light changes things. In our current and immediate context of the moment right now, it's easy to see that light can have an immediate effect, that light does change things, that one light can make a difference. In the larger context of the world, let's be really honest with each other and with ourselves. In the larger context of the world, it is much more difficult to understand or see or even believe that one light can really make a difference. It is much more difficult to believe that one person shining the light can really make a difference. Nonetheless, Jesus says in Matthew 5 that you are the light of the world. And continuing to break that down, Jesus would say this in verse 14, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. In verse 15, people do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. Again, in verse 15, rather, they put it on a stand like we have done today. And it gives light to the whole entire house. Look at that. Hey, what a creative way to get the lights back on. Somebody say amen. And then it goes on in verse 16 and says, in the same way that we saw this one light work, and in the same way we just saw all of the house lights work, Jesus says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. John chapter 8, verse 12. Turn there if you'd like real quickly. John chapter 8, verse 12 says these words. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So Jesus gives himself and his followers the same kind of description, the same label. Jesus says of himself, I am the light of the world. And then in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says of his disciples and the people who believe him, and thus today, people in our church, in our body, in our world that believe in him, he says, you also are the light of the world. And so he describes us in exactly the same way. He puts that same exact label on himself and those who believe in him as his followers. I am the light. You are the light. This is important. And we're going to camp here for just a minute. This is not something that I just want to blow past and roll right over. Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. Jesus said of me, Eddie, you are the light of the world. The same light that Jesus was, he says that I am. The same light that Jesus said he was, he says that you are. And so he speaks to you today and he says, put your name in the little blank. So-and-so, I am the light of the world. So-and-so, you are also the light of the world. And this is important because it means something. There are ramifications to that statement, to both of those statements. There are responsibilities in response to those statements. What does this require of us? How are we to respond? How do we begin to understand and even apply it to our life? I want to make no small point about the fact that I believe that this is vitally important, that Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and Jesus says to me, you are the same light of the world. The light that I spread when I was on the planet Earth is the same light that you are to spread. So what does that even mean? How do we apply it? How do we begin to understand this? I would like you to turn now, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to take a minute to read several verses for you this morning. We're going to start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Paul would go on to say, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Listen now to verse 4. The God of this age, the little g God, not the true God, but the little g God of this age, has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Look now also at verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Go back to verse 6. Verse 6 is very, very powerful to me. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, grab your Bibles and go all the way back to the very, very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that the same God who said, let there be light, is the same God who imparted to you the light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not sure about anybody else, but the message has got to hit the speaker first before it hits anybody else, and this is hitting me powerfully as I have studied for this morning's message. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, what? Let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was morning, and there is evening, or there is evening, and there was morning, the first day. Paul said that the very same God who commanded light into existence, the same God that said in the beginning, let there be light, is the same God who caused his light to dwell inside of you. I love it when Genesis says that in the beginning, that the earth was formless and empty. How many of you have ever felt formless or empty? Maybe not formless, but how many of you have felt empty? How many of you have ever felt enveloped by a darkness that you couldn't describe? Not a physical darkness, but maybe a mental darkness or an emotional darkness or a spiritual darkness that you just couldn't seem to break through, that you just couldn't seem to get a handle on. But there was no doubt that there was a form of darkness trying to rule and reign in your life. How many of you have ever felt like that before? I have. In a variety of circumstances, I have. And then there is that powerful moment when a believer says, Jesus, I do not know what's going on right now. I can't explain the darkness. I can't explain the overwhelming feeling of the darkness, but I just need you. I need the power of your Holy Ghost. I need the power of your Spirit. I need the power of your truth and your light to come and shine in my life right now. And in a moment, the same God who spoke light into existence speaks light into your life, speaks light into that situation, and the darkness cannot reign when light makes itself known. And we've all had a spot, a moment, where we've seen light overpower the darkness and reveal God's will, or reveal God's truth, or reveal God's blessing or His provision. The same God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the same God that said, let light shine in your life. This is, I don't mean to beat this into the ground, but this is so powerful for me. That if God sees my life as so important to speak into my life the same light that He spoke into existence at the creation of the world, then I better take notice. There's something that has to happen when the light is given to you, when the light is revealed to you. Now, I want to go back all the way to Genesis very briefly and describe something to you that is really, really profound in my estimation. Through the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the wisdom of these biblical writers, from verse 1 of Genesis, we will discover a theme and a thread of literary importance. From the very, very beginning of Scripture, we see the influence of light. As we look to Scripture, we will discover a light and darkness dualism, a comparison, a darkness representing void and chaos and disorder, as we see in Genesis. All the way back to the beginning, there was no order, there was chaos. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, but there was darkness. There was nothing there that was useful. And so we see that the darkness represents void, chaos, and disorder. And that light represents order, design, and function. Specifically in Genesis and the larger Old Testament context, we find a developing symbolic theme of not just dualism, of a comparison of light and dark, but now an ethical dualism between light and dark, between light and the things that represent good, and darkness, the things that represent things that are evil. So we have this dualism that is created and carried through the entirety of Scripture. Is anybody with me? All right. That's perfect, because you need to be with me to get to the next step. We have this developing literary concept of dualism, this comparison of light and dark. And in addition to that, it's not just the matter of there being light and dark, but this feeling of ethics and morality and right and wrong that also is implied with this dualism. At the heart of the Old Testament symbolic use of light and dark is the connection that the text makes between light and the personal presence of God, and darkness as everything that opposes God. We see this right in the beginning at Genesis 1-2, where God creates light to serve as a boundary to darkness. Now, at the very beginning of this message, I said you needed to remember two words, power and authority. Power and authority. This is where that really comes in. So now we understand that the Old Testament writers were not just ambiguously using light and dark to describe something metaphorically, but they were actually using it to describe the very nature and presence of God. Whenever they talked about light, they were talking about the presence of God. Whenever they talked about darkness, they were talking about the absence of God or the presence of evil. And now we know that also applies to ethics and morality and on and on and on. But we have to come to a point where we understand that light was created to create a boundary for the darkness. Light was created to set boundaries and fences and regulations over the darkness. Light has always been greater than darkness, even from the beginning. And it carries through all of humanity. Light is greater than darkness. We know that darkness, literally, figuratively, or symbolically, we know that darkness has power. How many of you know that spiritually, darkness has power? 2 Corinthians 4 says that the God of this age has blinded the eyes of people to see the light of the gospel. Darkness has power, and that power is very, very real. When we were in Guatemala, we saw the manifestation of a woman who was possessed by an evil spirit being delivered by the power and the presence of God. It was a little bit crazy. I mean, it wasn't insanely crazy, but it was different enough to be, whoa, okay. I've been in church my whole entire life in America, not in Guatemala. And in Guatemala, we saw the presence of darkness overcome and overwhelmed by the presence of the light of the gospel. We know that darkness has power. It is not powerless. It is strong. We know that darkness influences people, places, and things. We get that, and we're not dismissing that fact. But again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says that it even has blinded people. We know the power of darkness. But consider this. Let's go back to something that has been created. Thank God. How many of us have seen the sun in the last 2 weeks? Hallelujah. Got a little blue sky, a little sunshine. Give us a little relief. How many of you on those clear nights ever ventured outside and saw that big, bright, white full moon? Anybody go out and see that? The creation narrative tells us that God created two great lights. The sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. So for all of you who never really made this connection and never cared, let's make a connection. The sun is the center of the galaxy, of our galaxy. Amber's going to talk about all the specifics that she... Okay, if you want all the right information, talk to Adam and Amber. They know all this kind of stuff. The sun is big. Okay, thank you, Amber. I get the thumbs up on that one. And the sun is important to the existence of the things in the galaxy and on our planet Earth. And we know that the sun gives us light during the day. We also know that there is a moon that orbits around the Earth. The moon is not capable of generating its own light. It has nothing in its makeup and structure that would allow it to give light in and of itself. The brightness of the moon or the darkness of the moon is determined by the brightness of the light or the darkness of the light of the sun and other things, Amber and Adam. Taking it down to my kindergarten level, the sun determines how bright the moon is. If the sun, for some reason, was completely darkened to half of its intensity outside of all of the other chaotic things that would happen, the moon would also lose its brightness. The moon does not control the brightness of the sun. The sun controls the brightness of the moon. We can take that one step further and say the moon does not control the brightness of the day. The day controls the brightness of the night. We can take that one step further now, spiritually speaking. Darkness does not control the light. Light controls the darkness. Darkness cannot overpower the light, but light can overpower the darkness. Because even in the creation narrative and the created things that we see, darkness has its limits. Darkness has its boundaries. Darkness can only go so far and do so much because it is under the bridle and the command of the light, of the Son. Spiritually speaking, I don't know where you or your family are at or your situation today, but darkness will try to deceive you and convince you that it is in control. But Genesis 1 tells us that light was created to separate the light from the darkness. Light was created to bring order into chaos. Light was created to command darkness, not for darkness to command the light. And so in somebody's situation today, you need to look at that dark situation. You need to look at that mental struggle, that emotional challenge, or that family relationship, or that relationship in the workplace, and say, darkness will not rule in this scenario. Darkness will not command the outcome of this situation, because the light of God, the same light that God commanded to illuminate the universe, has been given to me to illuminate my life. There is nothing hidden from God when we allow His light to shine. Now, to me, I'm just going to assume that your minds are blown right now. That's why nobody got really excited. But this is exciting. And maybe it's because all of you just knew all of this already, and I'm speaking to a sounding board for myself. Maybe that's it. But something happens in the life of a person, in the life of a believer, when we finally come to the realization, using my example of the sun and the moon, that the moon does not call the shots, the sun does. The sun determines the outcome. And spiritually speaking, the light of the sun, S-O-N, determines the outcome. Darkness does not determine the outcome. Light determines the outcome. So why did the light come? Why did the man of Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world, why did he come? Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 says that people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, I'll take a couple minutes to read a few of those passages, but we're answering the question that the power and the authority of the light, I hopefully have an understanding and a context of that, but why did he come? The light came to reveal the darkness. The light came to remind the darkness who was really the boss. The light came with purpose and power and authority. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him we have life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. But the darkness has not understood it. And if there's an opposite to the hallelujah, I think in my vernacular it would just be, bummer. I don't know what the opposite of hallelujah is. Matt, can you enlighten me? No? Okay, looks like Matt got some homework. Anyway, I don't know what the opposite of hallelujah is, but maybe it's something like, you know, oh, wretched man that I am, that Paul would say. Oh, wretched man that I am, that the light has come, but people have ignored the light. How sad of an existence we lived before we knew the light of the gospel. Having that light revealed to us, we look over the timeline of our life and we go, man, I was miserable. I was sad. I was deceived that all those other things brought happiness and joy and fulfillment until the light of God came into my life and I knew what the real purpose of my life was. I knew what contentment was. I knew what the power of the joy of God was. When the light came, hallelujah, that the light came and I have received Him. But, oh, wretched man that I am, that there are those that still do not know Him. that there are those who are still blinded by the darkness of this age. Oh, wretched man that I am, God, give me a heart for the lost. Give me a heart for those who have not seen the light, or those who are ignoring the light, or those who are saying no to the light. God, please help me to shine my light the way you shined your light, so that the lost would be found, so that the lost would be saved, so that the broken would be healed, so that the hurting would be restored, that we would have a heart of compassion like Jesus that would break when he saw the people like sheep without a shepherd, because they had not seen the light, they were walking in darkness. John goes on to say that he himself, John the Baptist, was not the light, verse 8. Verse 9, but the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Why did he come? Because we were broken. Because we were lost. Because we were walking and stumbling in the darkness of our own futile decisions and our futile ways and our futile choices that we have made. He came because he loved. He came because he wanted his light to be known. The light also came to remind darkness who was really in charge. When Jesus was born, the author of Isaiah and John said that he came into a land that was enveloped in darkness. God sent his son to be born so that the light could remind the darkness who was boss. So that Jesus could remind the enemy of our soul who was really in charge. So that Jesus could provide a way for the Holy Ghost to come and empower his people to be greater than anything that was in the world, to storm the gates of hell and to conquer it, to bring out those who are lost and dying, to bring out those who are in chains and bondage. That is why the light came, to remind the enemy who really calls the shots, who really was in control, and to remind the darkness there was a boundary that he could not cross when it came to God and his children and his kids and his church. That is why the light came. So where does that leave us now? Where does that leave us now? Two things. One, where do you need the light to rule in your life today? Power and authority. I told you to remember those words, right? Where do you need the light to come into your life in power and authority? Maybe you first have to answer the question, where is darkness ruling in my life in oppression and bondage? And once you identify that, you can identify where the light needs to come into your life today. I want you to ask yourself that question. Where do I need the light to shine in my life today? Do I need it to shine in a family situation that is sucking the life out of my family? Do I need it in a relationship where darkness is sucking the life out of that relationship? Do I need the light to shine on a work situation with a coworker or a boss or an employee? Do I need the light to come to show its wisdom and its light to me in that situation? Do I need the light to shine on an illness or a diagnosis that I just got from the doctor? Do I need the light to shine today on my mental anxiety or a mental illness that I am struggling with? Do I need the light to shine on something that is paralyzing me, like fear, when it comes to shining my light? Where do I need the light to shine in my life today? And as you take a moment, a very personal reflection, I pray that you would be honest with yourself that you would be honest in answering the question, because when we can identify where we need the light to come, we can pray for the light to come. And the promise of the light is that He will come. And the second thing I want to leave us with today is this. How do I shine the light in a world that is still in darkness? How do I, like 2 Corinthians chapter 4 said, how do I take the light that God said spoke light into existence? How do I take that light? Paul said that light is inside of me. That light has been given to me. How do I take that light and let that light shine? I think there's a ton of ways. I'll name a few this morning and maybe encourage you to write something down and to follow through with that this week. If you're taking notes or you're writing something down, I want you to write down right now how you can shine your light in the world where you live in today. Shine your light. Eddie, how do I do that? You talk to the barista at Starbucks and you realize that she's a single mom with a little kid. With a little baby, and that baby's been sick all week long, and she's maybe got 2 or 3 or 4 hours of sleep every single night, and she's still in that Starbucks at 5 a.m. every morning working her tail off because she's trying to provide for that little child that she has. How do you shine your light in that situation? You walk up to that girl and you call her by name and you say, I'm so sorry that your child is sick. I'm going to be praying for you and your child as you do your best to do this thing, and I just want you to know that I appreciate how hard you are working. The things, the choices that you are making to provide for you and your son. Well, Eddie, that's just a compliment. Call it whatever you want to call it, but I call it shining the light in a world that is full of darkness. It's like I'm so proud of my wife. Matt, you can come. Give the people some hope that I'll shut up in a minute. My wife last night, we were doing some decorating in here, and thank you for liking it. If you don't like it, be quiet about it. But anyway, we were doing some things in here, and it was getting late, and we needed to get something to eat. So we went over to Mod Pizza, one of our local favorites, and we got in there. And I started talking to one of our local police officers, and my wife, shining her light the way that she can only do. She paid for that police officer's meal, and we went over and sat down at the table. We ate. That police officer had no clue what was going on. And it was one little way that she knew I was a pastor. It was a little way that we could shine our light. How are you going to shine your light? How are you going to show the light of God in a world of darkness? The possibilities are endless. My time is way beyond stopping, and I'm sorry for that. I want you to leave here today knowing that there is power and there is authority in the light that has been given to you. That light dwells inside of you, and there is nothing that you and God cannot tackle together and see a positive outcome. And I also want you to know that you have a responsibility and obligation to shine your light to a world who needs to see the light of the gospel. And maybe the other thing you need to do this week is memorize Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 through 16. I think that's what I preached from. Yes, it is. Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to close. Next week, we will continue the series out of the same text. And so I hope that you can come. Let's pray with one another this morning as we close our time. Jesus, thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you also that you have called us to be the same light, to shine in the dark places of our culture, our society, and the world that you have planted us in. Give us the courage and the power and the authority to do that. Help us to see where we can shine your light and to follow through and to do it with the tools that you have given us. Thank you, God, for our time. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, say with me, amen. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for sticking around a couple minutes longer. Love on somebody on your way out. Handshake, high five, whatever's appropriate. You are dismissed today. We love you lots. Thanks for coming to church.